Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Austin Petrie. Austin, please tell us where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Realsy.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm in Fort Texas, originally from Dallas, Texas, so just about 45 minutes west. And with Realsy, we have a snacking company that's based off health, wellness, but also focused in produce sets, which is kind of unique. And the fact that we're kind of taking produce items and really clean items and putting a little twist on them and making innovative products out of it. So our first line are nut butter filled dates.
That's amazing. Yeah, I love that. My girlfriend is a huge date fiend. So I've been getting into this world of dates more recently. So tell me a little bit about your background. I mean, you know, leading up to creating this brand, and I see it's a family business, which is obviously amazing. I love the story on the website that, you know, the farms are employed by 80% working mothers, which I also love. So yeah, just tell me a little bit about your personal background and your background leading up to, you know, being a part of this brand.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, dates have been blowing up.
Yeah.
You're seeing just everyone's becoming more of a date person. And it's actually the, according to Nielsen IQ data, dates are the fastest growing product, specifically Medjool pitted dates, out of everything in the fruit category. So
that's fascinating. I mean, I believe it because I see it with my own eyes, but yeah, that's fascinating.
It's pretty amazing. But to go into kind of my backstory, the business itself. So originally I met my business partner today. We met in college at TCU in Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, cool.
And we actually started a food truck our senior year in college, serving smoothies, acai bowls, and it was called Rollin' and Bowlin'. And we eventually graduated. We ran that food truck every single day, and we really saw this niche and a need for healthy food right off campus, especially acai bowls. We were the first acai bowl focused place in Fort Worth. And at that time, no one knew what an acai bowl was. But at the same time, people from California absolutely did because they were on every corner. And TCU's majority of out-of-state student population are from California. So it landed really well. We ended up getting a brick and mortar cafe on TCU's campus, like accepting their student IDs as payment and everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We hired a bunch of students. It went really well. And then we went to Tulane University in New Orleans. And that went well. And then we kept copying and pasting this model. So we were up to 10 locations from Notre Dame, Loyola Chicago, SMU, TCU, et cetera, all over the country. And then COVID hit. Everything went to absolutely zero. We were locked out of our own stores. There was nowhere we could go. And that's when, back against the walls, we started packaging our smoothie recipes into a single serve format. And that's how we got our foot in the door in the consumer packaged goods world. We're like, hey, let's try and get these into grocery stores. You know, let's see what we can do with these. We're shipping them out with dry ice direct to consumer. And through that process, we learned how difficult frozen logistics can be, especially for someone just completely new to the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that time, we were like, we realized the challenges of frozen. And then also at the same time, we saw dates with nut butters blowing up on social media. It's a snack we were eating and loved it at home. And we saw 10 random videos amassed more than 20 million views of people making this quote unquote healthy Snickers of dates with nut butters. But it's always a refrigerated or frozen product and you can't take it on the go. It's a mess to make. And so we're like, let's make this. Let's be the first ones to make this and put on a shelf. And so we did just that. And then to summarize everything where we're at today, we got approached by our competitors with our cafes after COVID, and we sold those and had our first exit. And then we wound down the frozen smoothie line kind of because it was under that same brand name. And then also we launched the nut butter dates under that same brand name of Rollin' and Bowlin'. And we rebranded that, redid the supply chain, everything. And now today it's Realsy. And that's what we focus on 100% of our time.
Yeah, that's awesome. I always love the stories of the pivots during COVID times. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
everybody was affected in their own unique way. I mean, nobody has the same experience through, something like that, obviously. So, no, it's such an amazing story. I appreciate you sharing that. And obviously, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, these types of dates are Moroccan, correct? So they're sourced from Morocco predominantly, the types of dates that are kind of like the more popular public eye today.
So they are sourced. Middle East is the one of the biggest sources for sure. Not necessarily Morocco. They
Okay.
are a big producer, but Saudi Arabia has a ton of dates.
Oh,
They're
cool.
actually this specific variety of date, it's called medjool date, that is really popular. It's big, it's super sweet. It's usually expensive versus another popular date called like the deglet nor, and that's a smaller one. It's not as soft and sweet. There is a big component in big area in California, Arizona, Mexico that grows medjool date. So if you ever go to
Oh,
Palm
interesting.
Springs, if you ever go to Palm Springs, there are a lot of date farms around there, and people are always marketing date shakes, like where they'll blend it up with some milk and other things, and maybe ice cream, all that, and they're delicious. So there's actually surprisingly a pretty good sized market that has grown in the U.S.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I did not know that actually. I was
Yeah.
trying to do some research before we got on, just about like the types of dates that you use in your product. And all I was seeing was kind of like Middle Eastern, Moroccan. But that makes
Yep.
sense. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that's good that it's that versatile. And does your sourcing come from mostly domestic sources, the farmers that you work with that you've highlighted on your website, or?
So we actually source from Mexico,
Oh, cool.
it's a family run operation, and they are, like you mentioned, 85% plus working mothers are the ones that are in the facility. We've been there multiple times. The family is amazing. Everything they stand for is awesome. They have really eco-friendly farming practices with drip irrigation systems, everything. So it's been a really great partnership. We're really grateful for it. And yeah, there's a lot to be said. So they grow in the dry climate, arid climates like that. So that's why some parts of California, Arizona is somewhat similar to Middle East, and they grow on palm trees, which I didn't know before starting this.
I didn't know that either. It's all about maybe 20 minutes before we hopped on
Right.
like Alte. It's fascinating. Yeah, I did
There
not know that
you
either. So tell me a little bit about, I guess, I know you mentioned you started obviously during COVID selling, this date recipe direct to consumer. How has that kind of progressed since then? I mean, are you still doing mostly direct to consumer sales with this product? Have you moved into any kind of like wholesale opportunities? What is kind of the breakdown of, the type of revenue channels that you're taking advantage of with this brand?
Yeah, so we're a majority a wholesale business. So we are targeting a lot of retailers. And again, what's unique to us is that we started targeting like the grocery department where there's a bunch of snacks. You see chips, you see healthy snacks, protein bars, et cetera. But we have really found our success and our niche in produce, because that's
Okay.
when you step back and think about it, it makes sense for our business because it's a super clean product. For example, our peanut butter dates, it's peanut, sea salt, and the date. There's nothing else added to it. And the dates are often merchandised in produce. So we've had a lot of retailers at first put us in candy. And because it really can be a candy replacement, it tastes like a little Snickers. But someone going in the candy aisle is not looking for a date with two ingredients, no added sugars. They want Skittles, they want Starburst, they want M&Ms. But the produce department is much more aware of the ingredients label and looking for something fresh. So we've seen a lot of success in produce, and it's also higher foot traffic in the store. We stand out more, et cetera. And so right now we are primarily wholesale. I'd say it's about 75% wholesale business. And then next would be Amazon and then direct to consumer. So we do, and wholesale business too, we do a lot of drop shipping for where we ship directly to people. But we're launching with Wegmans soon in the Northeast. We're in Central
Oh,
Market,
nice.
Giant Eagle. We're talking with Safeway, Northern California. So a lot of big retailers, and then a lot of non-traditional retailers, which is a big part of our business, meaning alternative markets, meaning not grocery stores, but corporate campuses, airlines, anything that really you see product like that is not a grocery store, coffee shops, juice bars. So we're actually launching in a few weeks in Admirals Clubs and American Airlines
Oh,
Admirals
cool. Yeah.
airports, which is pretty awesome. And it's going to be completely free for people to eat.
Yeah,
So
I
there's a
love
lot
my
of channels
Admirals
like that.
Club. I can't wait for that.
So also launching with LinkedIn corporate campus, Meta corporate campus, Pinterest. And what's amazing about that whole market, I think it gets often very overlooked by founders. It was initially for us, and now we're putting a big emphasis on it. It's more profitable, it's high volume, and it's great for marketing because they're giving it to their employees for free. And it's a frictionless trial experience for these people to try your product, share it, and go buy it at the store and share the love. Sometimes a campus, depending on the campus, they may subsidize it where employees still have to buy it. But for most of the tech companies, it's all free.
That's super cool. No, I think it is something that's maybe a little bit overlooked. And I have a couple follow-up questions to everything that you just mentioned for that reason, because it's not something I get to talk about all that often. One thing I'm curious about is, when you go into, you talk to your representative from, whatever wholesaler that you're working with, or whatever grocer that you're working with. They say you come up with the idea of like, I see we're, being placed in this, this aisle with, the candies, or maybe it's in an aisle with something else. How do you like kind of open up that conversation and like navigate that to say, like, I think this product would do much better in like, the produce department? Was that something that they brought up to you? I'm just curious.
It's a great question. It is something that we need to bring to the table. And for example, when we first launched in Central Markets, it's about 9 stores. They're great stores, high volume, one of the best retailers in the country. And we launched with 9 of their locations. And out of the 9 locations, we were probably in 5 different spots in the store, in each
Oh,
store. So
wow.
we were in a
Interesting.
peanut butter section, we were in the chocolate section, we were in the candy section, we were in the healthy living section, we were by the front end register. And that was actually initially really good for us and then we were in the produce set because we could see where we performed best out of all those locations. It was a good test for us. And what we saw was in produce, we saw sales of more than 90% sales increase versus our second best location in store, which was in a different location. So in the store. So that was the data that we can now bring to retailers and say, hey, we're produce and we know it. And here's why. And there's a lot of other data backing that up that we have. And that's happened many times, though. It's a really good question. We launched with Fresh Thyme. They put us in the candy set, and now they're moving us to produce. And it is a conversation, and retailers love it. If you can tell them, say, hey, we know we're most successful here, that's what they want to know.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And it seems like your initial experience with Central Markets was kind of just like randomly like an organic testing experience, where they just like maybe just like a different manager, a different store, just put it somewhere else. So it's kind of perfect, right? But that might be something like for any like new entrepreneur maybe looking to get into wholesale with a CPG brand, to say like hey, like if you want to do 10 stores, let's try 10 different locations in 10 stores and do like a test for a month to see what works. Like, those are like the kind of little nuanced things that I think can, bring a lot of value out of this podcast to somebody looking to get into something like this. When I get to have conversations with people like you, who have like, you go through these experiences, whether it was your own idea, or whether it's just things that happen organically. Those are things you can bring up front. So I think that's extremely valuable. I really appreciate that answer. And the other thing I
Totally.
wanted to ask was about, how do you even open the door to get into conversations with being on like a Meta campus, or like a big like software company like that's campus? I mean, it's just kind of like personal connections you made, and like, talking to people kind of like on the ground in those offices to like kind of get in that way? Or what was that process like for you?
Yeah, that's another great question. And the path isn't just singular. There's a lot of different routes to go to try and get into some of those campuses. So initially, like we got into Robinhood's corporate campus, for example, by just knowing someone who worked at Robinhood and said, hey, can you ask figure out who the buyer is for snacks? And they did. And they said, hey, we want this product in. And oftentimes those corporate campuses, they are there. That person's job who's bringing in products is there to satisfy employees. They just want to make employees happy. So if multiple employees, or even if just one employee is saying, hey, I really want this on our campus, they're often going to look at that and explore that option. And so then the next step is these campuses will usually have like a snack fair, and they'll bring multiple snacks and physically have like a pop-up table on the campus. And you can give out samples, and the employees will vote on what they like the best. And whatever is voted at the highest rank will be able to come in, and they'll bring it in. So you could often even approach, if you can find whoever that snack buyer is, you can often approach them and say, hey, are y'all doing a snack fair? We would love to be in the mix in that conversation. We'll fly to you and and do this because we believe in our product. We are so confident that it'll be well received. And then you can do the guerrilla marketing of getting all the employees to vote for you and everything after that. So that's one route, kind of scrappy, which we've done before.
Yeah, I love that.
The other route is getting brokers. So there are food brokers that just focus on that non-traditional alternative market space. Mm-hmm, they don't touch grocery stores. When a lot of times people think brokers, they think of, oh, I'm going to get into Whole Foods. But no, there's a lot of brokers out there who specialize in very specific niches. And so in our case, we actually did onboard with a broker, and it took a while. I'll be honest, like it took a while of not seeing many results because we started this relationship with the broker with a snack pack of like a 3-pack of dates. It has three dates and it's still a small item, but it was too expensive for a lot of these campuses because they want something that is small and inexpensive relatively because they're trying to feed the masses.
Right.
So then we launched this individually wrapped date. And for people listening, I'm showing what it looks like. An individually single wrapped date. And that opened the floodgates for us because now we're selling our product, you know, say $2 to $3. And now it's 50 cents to a dollar per unit. And that's one thing that we've learned, a major lesson for anyone in CPG. If you're interested in getting in these campuses, try, if you're a snack product, drinks may be different, try and make a product that is under $1 wholesale cost delivered to that distributor or to that company, whoever it is. And that will open up a lot of doors for you.
Yeah, no, it's great advice because it's like you said, I don't think this is something that's, you know, thought about or taken advantage of enough. I think people focus so much more on the traditional channels of, you know, working with a distributor or maybe, you know, if you have your own manufacturing process or logistics set up, you know, selling direct to, you know, wholesalers and grocers and then doing your e-commerce and your Amazon. I feel like most 90% of people just exist in those like three planes. And I think it's so important, especially now, like kind of post-COVID, to be omni-channel. And you have taken that to like the nth degree with being like in these non-traditional stores, being in grocers, being on Amazon, selling direct through the website and doing all of these things. So I think it's really important that people understand that, you know, there's opportunities out there for those things too.
Absolutely.
You know, it might seem like a higher, maybe like barrier to entry or something, but I mean, it's clearly not. I mean, there's people that work specifically like this, like, you know, distributors work specifically with, you know, grocery stores, there's brokers who work specifically with, you know, these campuses clearly. So, and was it the same story with the airports and the, did you say the Centurion lounges? Or the
Admirals Club.
The Admirals Club.
They're launching in the DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport Admirals Club. And then if it goes well, then we'll expand hopefully to other Admirals Clubs. But yeah, it was the same way. It was through our brokers actually with that one.
The same broker. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So again, very, very specialized brokers that they, at the end of the day, whether it's grocery, whether it's corporate campuses, American Airlines, whatever it may be, it's all relationship based. Any business. And it's pretty amazing what you can do. And in retail, specifically grocery, is very complicated. A lot of companies will go in there without the right strategy, including ourselves at the beginning, and get burned. It's expensive and it's complicated. So yeah, this is a route to something more simplified and more profitable.
Yeah, it's expensive, complicated, and fluctuates massively. And it could be a problem for something that, like, I'm not sure how, like, the shelf life is with something like, you know, the product that you're making, but especially if you're doing something really perishable, like a meat or dairy, man, if you're producing, like, you know, 5,000 units a month to a wholesaler just to, like, you know, just to keep the profits high enough for the margins to keep your business afloat, and then that goes away, it's a problem. And it's a big story that I heard, you know, I think some of the most effective, you know, leading up to COVID and during that time, were some of those really perishable foods where they had this just machine that was just pumping out crazy amounts of units, like month after month after month, like, and only in wholesale. And then when that went away, it was just like, everything basically was just spoiled, wasted, and couldn't do anything with it. And still we're under contract with manufacturers and things to do those types of things, whether it was, you know, the money or the production or whatever it was. So no, it's so true. And I think it's really insightful to hear, you know, these different kind of alternative channels. So I love that. And let me ask you this too, because I'm always curious, you know, you seem pretty savvy and open to, you know, these kind of alternative opportunities. So have you been approached with any kind of like private labeling opportunities? Is that something you're interested in doing or have been approached about, or is it something you do currently already?
We have been approached and it's not something we're interested in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And for the reason being, like, we are the only product really of our kind at our caliber, and we've been able to scale it. So understandably so, like some people will come and they'll say, hey, we want to make that product. You're really the only ones who can do it. And it gives us great leverage, and we can probably, make some good money off private labeling. But from a brand standpoint, we just want to really grow our brand and try and be exclusively the best nut butter date out there.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you at all. I mean, it's something that's, the recipe wise, it's such like a novel thing, and it is so popular. I think, there's private labeling opportunities for certain brands that are just like, marketing something differently, even though it's the same commodity, like, liquid death water, right? Like, what if whatever their manufacturing or like, processing process is, like,
Right.
if they have like something really great set up on like the logistics side of things, like, okay, maybe you could private label some of that process for other people. It's just water. You know what I mean? It's all branding. The water's not any different. It's just water. But with something like this, I totally get that. I totally get that. And, yeah, I think people, the general consensus I get from like just kind of growing brands that are getting a lot of traction and have like a really popular brand and have product market fit and everything is, obviously open to it. Just, if it's really the right relationship and the right conversation, you take it on. But I think people are rightfully skeptical of doing that, especially too much early on when there's still so much growth along the runway. So that definitely makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let me just ask you this question I always love to ask everybody that comes on the podcast. If you go back to, when you kind of started the brand, right? Like knowing everything you know now, things you learned the hard way and all those types of things. If you could give yourself one piece of advice, if you could go back to the beginning, personal, business, whatever it might be, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
Man, that's a heavy question. I would say, especially as we talk about these non-traditional markets and everything, I wish we started our single wrap, individually wrapped unit. I wish we started that earlier.
Yeah.
We've had our three pack of dates, and it's been doing fairly well. But again, this single wrapped unit has been opening a lot of doors for us in both grocery and non-traditional. So maybe I wish we started that sooner. I don't really have any regrets. So And I also always want to keep things simple. We don't have very many SKUs, so we're really trying to stay hyper focused.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, it's fair enough, right? I mean, that opens so many doors for you at the time where you did do the single serve packaging. And I don't know, there's something about it. Even you're just holding it in your hand. It's just like, you look at it, it's just something it's something I want to hold that. Like, I feel like it feels nice in the hand. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like a individually wrapped, like, big piece of, they sell like the Snyder, keep going back to the Snickers example, but they sell like the single wrap Snickers. And there's just something about it. It's nice and tightly packaged. You open it up, it's almost like a, it's almost like a relief to open it because it's so tightly, nice package.
And one component we didn't even bring up that is really crucial and really important when it comes to these single wrap units is it opens the door for marketing opportunities for us too. So we've been getting a lot more inbound marketing opportunities. For example, this is a big product with athletes. So a lot of like Ironmans and biking races that are like 40 miles long, and it will be hundreds of people. We just couldn't afford, it was too expensive to ship out our three pack, but now we can do it with our single unit. So we can like ship and sample a lot more efficiently at a lot lower cost.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. I really appreciate all your insights. Awesome. I just want to say thank you again for coming on. I just want to give you a quick opportunity before we jump to just shout out the website. Anybody listening, any other entrepreneurs who might be interested in partnering with you, maybe having a conversation with you, learning from you. Just let everybody know how to stay in touch, the best way to keep in touch with you guys.
Thanks so much for having me. Our website's eatreelsy.com. That's eatreelsy.com. You can buy product there. You can buy things on Amazon. We have a retailer locator on our website if you want to buy at a store near you. And I'm an open book. I'm happy to talk and meet with anyone. So my email is austin@eatreelsy.com. So please reach out.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Austin. I really appreciate your time, and I wish you nothing but good luck and continued success, my friend.
Thank you so much, Matt. Happy to be
Thanks,
here.
Austin. Thanks, everybody.